You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Shout from the Mountaintops. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Later this week, Diane and I will be going to Denver, Colorado, for the annual convention of the International Lutheran Layman's League. Now, you may never have heard the name International Lutheran Layman's League, or the LLL, as it's called, but you do know the work of this organization. The LLL's Lutheran Hour ministries include this radio program, which is heard on over 1,100 stations each week. And there's more. Lutheran Hour Ministries produces some 78 different television and radio broadcasts from our 34 offices and project centers around the world. All these different programs have only one goal, bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. So, later this week, Diane and I are going to join with about 1,500 of the volunteer leaders of this organization for our annual convention. The theme of the convention is Shout from the Mountaintops. This promises to be 4 days of worship, of Bible study, of inspiration, and of education about the tremendous opportunities we have to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Does that sound like a commercial? It is. And later in this message, I'm going to invite you, well, let's leave that until later. The real purpose behind my little commercial about our Shout from the Mountaintops convention in Denver was to introduce today's message. Mr. and Mrs. Arthur Dutton of Richton Park, Illinois, are you listening? You wrote and asked me to speak about the importance of God's Word in our life. I'm going to do that. If I succeed in this effort to talk about the importance of God's Word, then we'll all understand why it is so important that we Christians proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Whether we shout the gospel from the mountaintops, distribute it by satellite or CD or on the World Wide Web, or best of all, share it one-on-one in our daily conversations, taking the gospel of Jesus into the whole world is worthy of our wholehearted commitment. I'll show you why that's so by asking you a series of questions. The questions are simple, and they may seem quite unrelated to one another. First question. What happens if you Americans haven't sent a certain little mailing to the federal government on or before April 15th? What happens if you Canadians haven't sent in your income tax by April 30th? If you don't do that, you'll experience some interesting consequences, won't you? What happens if you're doing 50 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone? I did that recently, and as a result, the Collinsville police officer gave me the opportunity to make a donation to the local government. Being a clergyman doesn't exempt you from living by the rules or from suffering the consequences when you don't. Another question along the same line. What happens if you do drugs, or if you knock off a convenience store, or if you embezzle money? What happens when you break the law and get caught? Are they going to smile at you and say, God bless you, have a nice day? Of course not. Yet another question. You see, these questions aren't difficult at all. What happens when husbands and wives start to take one another for granted? What happens when you forget the fresh love and the sincere promises that you made on your wedding day? Most of you have probably experienced the consequences of that lack of love. Again, what happens if you cut corners at work, if you don't meet expectations, if your superiors have a less than favorable impression of your performance? Well, enough of that. While those questions were all different, there is one thread that ties them all together. If you fail to do what you're supposed to do, you'll pay the price. You don't have to be religious to know that there are certain things you're supposed to do, and if you don't do them, you can expect to face the consequences. The fact of the matter is that we are all experts in the law. It's a fact of life that's born into every one of us. Now, think about this. What would happen if there were no Bible? You pick up the Bible and read passages like John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If there were no Bible, you wouldn't know the good news. What would happen if there were no Christian congregations to share that love of God with people who don't know anything about Jesus? Many people have access to a Bible, but sad to say, they don't read it and learn what God does for us in Jesus. It's a great fact that some of these people will become heaven-bound Christians because congregations take the message of the Bible and carry it into their community. And, harking back to my earlier commercial, what would happen if there weren't media ministries, like Lutheran Hour ministries, to help congregations and individual Christians broadcast the good news? Thousands and thousands of people have been reached for Christ by the efforts of the Lutheran Hour. Apart from that, these precious people for whom Christ died might not know the joy of Jesus. They might not be saved for eternity. You see, on the one hand, the law is born into our hearts. Whether it's taxes or speed limits or evaluations at work or practicing love at home, we all know that we'll experience consequences if we don't do what we're supposed to do. And that, Mr. and Mrs. Dutton, is why your letter immediately caught my attention. God's Word is important for our lives because it interprets for us our day-to-day problems. The Bible teaches us that our failures are not only mundane things, like breaking the speed limit or whatever other earthly standard we have failed to meet. The Word of God teaches that God also has standards that we sinners fail to meet. The Bible teaches us about sin. The consequence of our sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. On the other hand, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is quite different. We are not born with that in our hearts. It has to be told to us sinners in words. And that's the greatest reason why God's Word is so important. It not only teaches us the depth of our problems caused by our sin, best of all, God's Word reveals to us the gospel. The Bible tells that God sent Jesus to forgive all our sins, that Jesus has conquered death, and His true believers will follow Him into heavenly life. The gospel tells us that even now, when our failures may be all about us, and we're tempted to give up hope, even now we know that God is a God of forgiveness, of love, and of hope. Contrast that special revelation of the gospel to the world of nature. Nature is not going to tell you that God is a kind and a loving God. Oh, on a beautiful July day, you might think, how great God must be to make such a beautiful world. And indeed, God is great and has made a splendid world. But beautiful summer days can turn violent. Thunderstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes can work death and destruction. Where's your kind God then? The answer is that God is indeed good, but you know that from the Bible and not from the ambiguous revelation of nature. While you and I are born with the law in our hearts by nature, the good news of God's love for us sinners in Jesus Christ comes to us from outside. It's alien to our natural way of life. It's like an invasion of a troubled planet from another world, from a heavenly world, from God Himself. This alien invasion comes in the words of the gospel. The Old Testament book of Joel says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That verse prompted St. Paul to ask some leading questions in Romans chapter 10. He says, "How can people pray to Him if they have not believed in Him? How can they believe in Him if they have not heard His message? How can they hear if no one tells the good news? How can people tell the good news if no one sends them? As Scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who announce the good news." So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is the Word of Christ. Mr. and Mrs. Dutton wanted me to speak about the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Can I let you in on a little fact? I know the Duttons, and I know that this gospel is important in their lives, just as it is important in my life and it is, I trust, important in yours. But not everyone knows this gospel, and they won't learn it from fluffy clouds and mountain grandeur. They'll learn it only from the words of the gospel. That's why our Savior Jesus has commissioned us to go everywhere in the world and tell everyone the good news. The spread of this good news is happening in countless ways. Dr. Milton Rudnick is the past president of Concordia Lutheran Seminary in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Dr. Rudnick tells the following story about his early years in parish ministry. I hadn't been in my first parish long before I knew we had a problem. This was a struggling, little old congregation on New York's Lower East Side, which had been in decline for more than 50 years. But decline was not the problem I refer to. The problem was a 6-year-old by the name of Billy. He did not come to Sunday school often, but when he came, it was a disaster. Billy was nothing but trouble. He never listened, or so we thought. He disrupted the class constantly, punching the other students, leaving his place, talking out loud in inappropriate ways. He was the despair of his teacher. No one knew what to do about him. We were relieved on those Sundays when he didn't show up. Billy didn't have much going for him. He was from a very poor and broken home. He was malnourished and somewhat crippled. He had a nervous twitch. And all this in addition to, and no doubt contributing to, his obnoxious personality. He lived in a tenement apartment about a mile from the church and parsonage across many very busy streets. Late one afternoon, about the time rush hour traffic was at its peak, my doorbell rang. When I answered it, I was surprised to see Billy there, holding the hand of a little girl about his age. "Billy," I asked, "what are you doing here?" "This is my friend Celia, Pastor. She doesn't know anything about Jesus, so I brought her here so that you could tell her about him." I could hardly believe my ears. Billy, whom we thought never listened or cared, brought his little friend all that way across some of the busiest streets in the world so that he could introduce her to Jesus. I invited them in and sat them down. "Billy," I said, "you know about Jesus. Why don't you tell her about him?" To my astonishment, Billy replied without any hesitation and with complete confidence. "Celia," he said, "Jesus was the nicest person who ever lived. He was so good to everyone. If they were sick, he would make them well. If they were hungry, he would feed them. If they were sad, he would cheer them up. He was so nice. But some bad people hated him, and one day they caught him and they hurt him and they killed him." "I think I heard about that once," Celia interrupted. "They stuck arrows in him, didn't they?" She was probably thinking of the spear. "But you know what? He didn't have to let them do that," Billy quickly added. "He wasn't just a man, he was God, too, and he could have stopped them, but he let them do it anyway. And you know why, Celia? He did it for us, so that God would not have to punish us for the bad things that we do." Deeply moved, Celia responded, "Oh, he shouldn't have done that." "But he didn't stay dead," Billy explained excitedly. 3 days later, he came back to life again. He went to see his friends, and were they ever glad to see him? Then after a little while, he went back to heaven again. But you know what? He's still here anyway. We can't see him, but he's here all the time. And when we're really good, it makes him real happy, and when we're bad, it makes him sad. And someday, Celia, he's going to come back from heaven, and we'll be able to see him, and he's going to take us to be with him in heaven forever. Isn't that wonderful? If Billy could do it, so can we. Shout it from the mountaintops. Why has God put you in this world? Why am I here? Why hasn't God taken all Christians to heaven already? The answer is simple. He wants you and me to tell others about Jesus. How will they hear if we don't tell them? So Diane and I will be traveling later this week to Denver for our annual Lutheran Hour Ministries convention. We and the leaders of this organization are going to recommit ourselves to shout from the mountaintops, to use every possible means to tell everyone about God's love in Jesus. If you live in the Denver area, here comes the invitation that I almost gave you earlier. Why don't you join us next Sunday, July 21st at 4 p.m. in the ballroom of the Colorado Convention Center? We're going to have a great rally of teaching and singing and praise and prayer around the Word of God. If you're in the area, please come. Bring a friend. What you'll get from this rally next Sunday at 4 o'clock in the Colorado Convention Center won't come from fluffy clouds or mountain grandeur. It comes only from the good news of Jesus Christ. Whether you can join us next Sunday in Denver or not, remember this, they won't hear unless you and I tell them. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.